Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Well, I want to encourage you to get your Bible out and turn with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. It's a joy to come to you and be with you on Wednesday nights. And again, you hear me say it all the time, but I mean it. Thank you so much, all of you that are our small group leaders and host party leaders, and those of you, all of our hosts online. We thank God. It takes all of us to get our prayer partners. If you need prayer, we have a 24-hour-a-day live prayer. We're here for you. I just want you to know that we love you. We thank God for you, and I'm excited about tonight. I believe I have a right now rhema word for you and for me and for our church in 2020, December, the first Wednesday. I want to talk to you about don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. Can you say it with me? Don't stop believing. I believe that I'm talking to some tonight that maybe during this year 2020 that you may have lost your faith, or maybe you have questioned your faith, that maybe tonight, because you know this has been a crazy wild ride this year, and maybe tonight your faith needs a restart. Your faith needs to be restored, to be restored. So I want to encourage, I want to empower, I want to help you as we end this year strong. I want to say to you that wherever you're at, whatever season, whatever situation, whatever mountain, whatever giant you're facing, whatever you're believing for, don't stop believing. That's a word. What would happen? Think about this question to ask ourselves. What would happen if, what could we accomplish if we won't stop believing? What could we do if we don't stop believing? If we continue to believe in spite of how we feel, in spite of our circumstances, in spite of what people are saying, in spite of the opposition, the obstacles in your way, if we just won't stop believing, what could we accomplish? Think about it. Maybe one more day in faith, one more hour in faith. I want to give you a story from the Bible where this is so prevalent and it brings out this message so clear. So tonight, what I want to do is help people that maybe have lost their faith, questioned their faith, doubted their faith, wavered in their faith, and your faith needs to be restored. I want to show you a story from the Bible, an illustration from the Word of God, and then I'm going to give you some takeaways where we can practice what we've heard tonight and we can see our faith go to a whole new level. Are you ready? Let's go to Mark chapter 5, Mark chapter 5, and verse 35 through 42. I'm going to go over to the screen. Mark chapter 5, what can we accomplish if we don't stop believing? Mark 5, 35. Now, this is a great story that illustrates that maybe tonight the word for you in the struggle you're in, and the battle you're in, the longevity of it, maybe the word for you is simply don't stop believing, because you're on the verge of a miracle, of a breakthrough, of a turnaround. So let's look at it. While he was still speaking, there came some from the ruler's house who said to Jairus. Now, Jairus, you and I know that names in the Bible and numbers in the Bible are significant. They have a spiritual significance. Names and numbers in the Bible mean something. Jairus, his name means to be enlightened. His name means to be enlightened. You see, Pastor, big deal. It is a big deal because when he came to Jesus, he was enlightened. He got a right now word for his daughter. And tonight, what you and I need is the light to come on. We need a fresh word. We need revelation. We need a right now word from God that will enlighten us to see what God sees so we can receive what he wants to do in our life. While he was yet speaking, there came from the ruler's house who said to Jairus, your daughter has died. Why bother and distress the teacher any further? Maybe tonight it looks like something has died in your life, your dream, your future, your health, your energy, your relationship, your marriage, your business, your career, your ministry. Maybe it looks like it's over, but it's not over if we just won't stop believing. Distress the teacher. Why would you do that? Verse 36. Overhearing, but ignoring. I love that. That's powerful. There are some things we need to ignore. There are some things that we hear that we need to ignore. Maybe a negativity. Maybe somebody in doubt and fear, worry, carnal Christian, a downright sinner that comes against you and says things that are harmful and hurtful. I think sometimes we just need to ignore what other people are saying if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. So overhearing but ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue. Now, here's a word, and here's where I get the title for tonight's sermon. Jesus said, this is his word that gave revelation and enlightenment and turned the light on, so to speak, for Jairus. Do not be seized with alarm. Do not be struck with fear. Here it is. Only, can all the hosts say it with me? Only keep on believing. That's where I get the title for tonight. And I think that's a word for many of us. Your faith needs to be restored. It needs to be rejuvenated. You need to be encouraged that even when you feel like quitting, you're weary and well-doing, don't stop believing. When it looks like it's dead and it's over and it's not going to change and our best days are behind us, we missed all of our golden opportunities, Jesus would say to you and me, don't stop or only keep on believing. Oh, I love that. Only keep on believing. And he permitted no one to accompany him to except Peter, James, and John, and the brother James. Notice Jesus is very selective who his inner circle is. He's very selective who he's running with. He's very intentional the people he has close to him. We've all heard it that we're the average of our five closest people, five closest friends, we're the average of them. You put them all together. Notice that Jesus was very cautious who he ran with, very cautious who his inner circle was. Next verse. When they arrived at the house of the ruler of the synagogue, he looked carefully. I like this in the Amplified. That's why I chose it. He looked carefully and with understanding. Carefully and with understanding. At the tumult and the people, the weeping, the wailing loudly. And when he had gone in, he said to them, "Why do you make an uproar and weep? The little girl's not dead, but is sleeping." There's a powerful principle here that people with faith don't make their problems bigger. People with faith don't make their giants larger. How? By talking about them all the time, by focusing and meditating and musing over them all the time. We're not to make our problems bigger with our faith. We're to make God bigger with our faith, right? So Jesus says, you know, what are you crying? And he had a different perspective. He had a different outlook. He had a different stance, right? He had a different attitude. Listen very carefully. He had a different mindset. And so the little girl is not dead, but she is sleeping. And they laughed and they jeered at him, but he put them all out. Well, we need to know what we need to eliminate from our life. That's breeding doubt, fear, unbelief, negativity, and depression. We need to get that out of our life. We need to eliminate it. He got them all out. And taking the child's father and mother and those that were with him, he went into where the little girl was lying, gripping her firmly. Ooh, I like that. Gripping her firmly by the hand, he said to her, which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise from the sleep of death." He spoke. He made a command. And instantly, well, I'm looking for some surprises yet this year. For some instantlies yet this year for you and me. And instantly the girl got up and started walking around, for she was 12 years old, and they were utterly astonished and overcome with amazement. What an amazing story. And notice, he had a situation, Jairus, in his life. It was his daughter that looked like it was over, looked like she was dead. Others had given up on it. He comes to Jesus. Jesus gives him a right now word. He says, don't stop. Keep on believing. Don't fear. Keep on believing. If you'll get rid of fear and you'll keep on believing, Jairus, your daughter will be raised from the dead. What can we accomplish if we just keep on believing? What can we accomplish if we just another day, maybe a 24-hour turnaround, another week, another month, if we just keep on believing for our children, our grandchildren, our marriage, our mate, our partner, our job, our health, what could happen? I think the Bible says, Jesus says that if I can believe, anything's possible. And with God, all things are possible. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, so we're talking about keep on believing, don't stop believing. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. For we walk by faith and not by sight. One of my all-time favorite preachers, Fred Price, Crenshaw Christian Center, Los Angeles, California. And I can remember every time he would end his TV program with that scripture. Every time that I watched it, he'd have the congregation, they'd all say it together, for we walk by faith and not by sight. It's so important that you and I make sure that we're believing the right thing, that we're in believing, faith and believing, same thing. We walk by faith and not by sight. I want to give you some indicators that will let me know that I'm no longer walking by faith, but now I'm walking by sight. I want to give you three, and there are more, three indicators, three characteristics of a person who stopped believing, who was not believing, that they weren't keeping on believing, but they quit believing, and now they're walking by sight. What they see, what they hear, what they feel, what they can taste. All right? So how do I know that I've stopped? We're talking about keep on believing. We're talking about keep on keeping on. Keep on believing. Don't stop believing. How do I know that I've stopped believing and now I'm walking by sight? Say that scripture with me out loud, would you? For we walk by faith and not by sight. How do I know that I'm no longer walking by faith and now I'm walking by sight? Let me give you three things here, and we're going to look at the first one. And we're going to go to the scripture that represents that principle. I know I've stopped believing and that I'm walking by sight. Number one, when I become and stay fearful. I know that I'm no longer walking by faith, but now I'm walking by sight. What I feel, what I can see or cannot see, what I'm hearing, what I'm touching and tasting is dominating my life. It's controlling and has taken over my life, and I'm no longer believing. Now I'm walking by sight. How? When I become and stay fearful. Let me give you the story of Matthew chapter 14, and this is the story of Jesus walking on the water, and he comes to the disciples in the boat, and Peter steps out of the boat and walks on the water with Jesus. And in the fourth watch, between 3 and 6 o'clock of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. They said, it's a ghost. And they screamed out with fright. But instantly he spoke to them and said, take courage, I am. He is the great I am, right? Stop being afraid. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and he came towards Jesus. I would say he's believing. I would say he's in faith. I would say he's acting on the word come. But when he perceived, now he's no longer walking by faith. He's no longer standing on the word. Now he's walking by sight. Now he's walking by sight. But when he perceived and felt the strong wind, he was frightened. What is he? He's in fear and staying in fear. Now he's no longer. An indicator that he's not believing is that he is fearful and he's staying afraid. That's a sign that now we're walking by sight. He was frightened, and as soon as he began to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me from death." Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand, caught him, and held him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Whoa. So that's the first indicator. Remember, we walk by faith, not by sight. Remember, he said, "Jairus, if you can just keep on believing, you'll get your miracle. Just stay in faith. Just keep on believing." And as long as Peter was walking on the word, come, he had a miracle. But as soon as he began to look at the winds and the waves and walking by sight, he began to sink. That's powerful, isn't it? The second indicator that I know that I'm no longer walking by faith, I'm no longer believing, but now I'm walking by sight, is when I lose my joy. When I've lost my joy, I'm no longer believing, I'm now walking by sight. And if you and I are going to be victorious, and we are, overcomers, and we are, please God, and we will, we've got to walk by faith and not by sight. When I've lost my joy, Romans 15, verse 13. Now, the God of hope, don't you like that? The God of hope, fill you with all joy. Can you say it with me, please? Joy. Fill you with joy and peace in what? Believing. As long as I'm believing, I got joy. The minute I stop believing and walking by sight, I lose my joy. That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So we're to walk by faith and not by sight. We're to keep on believing. We're not to stop believing. And if we know, how do I know, Pastor, that I've stopped believing and now I'm walking by sight? Number one, when I get and stay fearful. Number two, when I've lost my joy. When I've lost my joy. Number three, the third indicator that I'm walking by sight is in the same passage, but I've lost my hope. I've lost my hope. This coming weekend, we're starting a brand new series called Hope Restored. For the whole month of December, that's our theme in our Giving Hope outreaches and our Sharing Hope. We're going to talk about Hope Restored. Kind of like tonight, been a wacky, crazy, wild ride this year, and maybe kind of, sort of, some of us have lost our faith, wavered on our faith, doubted our faith because of the pressure, the stress, the problem, the intensity of all that's going on. And I think for many of us tonight, our faith is being restored. Amen. We're repenting. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm walking by sight and not by faith because I am depressed. I am discouraged. I have lost my hope. I've done all these things. And God, I repent. I confess it. And you know what? The Bible says when we do that, God's so good. 1 John 1, 9, he forgives us immediately. And everything's restored back. Our fellowship, our joy, our hope, our faith and the strength, working power, it's all restored. So the third thing, indicator that I'm no longer walking by faith but by sight, same scripture. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So if I'm in believing, if I'm keeping on believing, if I don't stop believing, then what? I'm going to have joy that you may abound in hope. If I've lost hope, if I don't have a future, if I want to give up, if I'm down and I'm staying down, it's because what? I'm now walking by sight. What I can see or can't see. What I feel or I don't feel. What I hear or I don't hear. And the key is we got to get back into faith, back into believing as soon as possible. So let me give you tonight some takeaways, okay? Some action points. What can we do? Number one, choose to believe. Can you say that with me? Choose to believe. Believing is a choice. And I like, there's a book, you know, I like it, Right or Wrong Thinking. A great little book, Right or Wrong Thinking. And you know, whatever I'm thinking, I'm believing. So if I'm thinking wrong, I'm believing wrong. If I'm thinking right, I'm believing right. So the first step takeaway is we're going to choose to walk by faith and not by sight. It's a choice. We're going to choose to believe. You remember another story? I'm giving you stories from the Bible tonight instead of out of my own life. But another story in the Bible is Doubting Thomas. Do you remember him? Doubting Thomas. He said, unless I can see him and touch him, I won't believe. What was he saying? I choose not to believe unless I can see it. And Jesus went on to say, more blessed are you that believe and don't see. So choose to believe. Say it with me. I am a believer. Say it with me. I am a believer and not a doubter. So what do? To keep on believing, we choose to believe in spite of our circumstances, in spite of what's happened this year, we choose to believe. Number two, do things daily that will increase the right believing. Do things daily. We can choose to believe, but then the next step is we got to start putting into process a plan, a daily plan that will increase our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So right off the bat, we know we got to get more word, a little faith, big word, big faith. So we got to get a Bible reading plan, or we got to get some kind of a plan. You know, there are 150 Psalms, 30 days in a month, read 5 Psalms a day, 3 in the morning, 2 at night. There are 31 Proverbs, 31 days in a month, usually 1 proverb a day. There's all kinds of Bible reading plans, but if I'm serious and I want to choose to believe, because I, just like Jairus, if I'll just keep on believing, just another day, stay in faith, what could God accomplish in me, for me, and with me? Wow. So how do I know that I'm no longer in faith and that I'm walking by sight? Fear, loss of joy, and I lose my hope. I'm walking by what I see and by how I feel. So we don't want to do that, so we're going to choose to believe. And number two, we're going to do things daily, everybody say daily, that will increase right believing. We need to read the Bible. Another one would be right relationships. Right relationships. Remember, in our story, Jesus was very selective who his inner circle was. He ran all the doubters, all the pouters out. And he, what did he do? He made sure he had an inner circle that was believing. So not only reading the word, but I need right relationships. I need faith friends. I need encouragers. I need people that will build my faith and not steal or destroy my faith. We need to make sure all that's happening, just like we feed our body, we have to feed our spirit every day. Praying in the spirit, praying in tongues, feeding on the word, worshiping the Lord, praising the Lord, daily declarations, daily confessions, journaling the goodness of God, being thankful, all that will increase the right believing. Oh, I like it, and we won't stop. Number three, how do I keep on believing? That was the word that Jesus gave to Jairus, and I think that's the word that he's given to many of us tonight. Just keep on believing. Don't quit. Eliminate things that steal your joy and hope. Eliminate things that steal your joy and hope. So I need to take an inventory of my life, and I need to look at either what I'm listening to, looking at, running with, associating with, meditating on, musing over, things that steal my joy and steal my hope, such as focusing on my past mistakes. God doesn't want us to do that. God doesn't want us to live in the past. God wants you and I to enjoy today and plan for the future. So things that condemnation, guilt, and shame, God doesn't want that in our life. That only steals our joy and our hope. Our wrong decisions, and we've all made them. Our wrong associations, we've all had them. Reading the wrong thing, listening to the wrong thing, falling with the wrong group, we've all done it. But we need to look around and evaluate and examine our life tonight and eliminate those things, those outlets that are feeding, those channels that are feeding and stealing my joy and hope and taking that away from me. And we need to eliminate those things because we want to feed our faith and starve our fear, doubt, and unbelief. Amen. So number four, takeaways as Josh comes out. Focus on God's future for you. Focus on God's future for you. Now, I want to highlight this because I said God's future for you, not man. Right now, it looks kind of bleak if you listen to what we're hearing. Some people say that our future looks like. It looks kind of bleak, could discourage, could defeat, could be a downer. If we hear what this group or that group or this group is saying is coming or not coming, it could. What could it do? If you're doing that, you're walking by sight, not by faith. You and I want to focus on not what man says our future is, but what God says our future is. We want to focus on God's future for you. And I know many of you know it, but I just can't stop feeding off of it. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Well, many translations say they give you a future and a hope. You know, as we're concluding here tonight, maybe you're watching and you say, Pastor, wow, I can see now how in areas of my life I've been walking by sight. I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. I know you do. I believe in God. I know you do. Pastor, but I realize, I see it tonight, that I've allowed COVID, I've allowed 2020 to come in, kind of rob me of my faith, question my faith, waver in my faith, in my believing, and I can see there are areas of my life that I'm no longer walking by faith, but I'm walking by sight concerning my children, my health, ministry, future, business, job, career, because I can see it. I'm fearful in that area. I'm afraid, I'm scared, I'm dreading. Or, Pastor, I get it. You know, I haven't had any joy for a long time. I've lost my joy because I realize I've been looking at, focusing on the wrong things, listening to the wrong people. I've lost my hope, Pastor. I thought that it's all over with what they're saying. It's doomsday headed ahead of me, and I feel like giving up. And I realize now, too much of the news, not enough of the good news. Too much of social media and not enough spiritual time with the Lord. So, Pastor, pray for me. If that's you right now, for the first time, maybe you don't have a relationship with God and you want one. You want to know the why you're here on earth and what it is you're to do, the why and the what. And you say, Pastor, I'm ready to give my life to God. Maybe you're like Julie. Remember her story in the offering? Maybe you have an addiction. Maybe you've lost a husband or a wife or a mother or a father or a sister or a brother or a loved one, or you've lost something, something's been taken away from you. You don't know who you are, like she said, why was she here? That might identify and resonate with your spirit. I encourage you, give your life to God. Give your heart to God. Surrender it to God. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Or as a believer, there are issues in your life that you want to get rid of tonight and get back on track. You want to recommit. Say this prayer, all of us together. Let's say it out loud. Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me and he rose again. Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. Jesus is Lord over my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.